Hi, Chris Ballatin here. Welcome to my podcast, where I hope to inspire you to transform the world within you and transform the world around you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Welcome to the second season of Cultural Catalyst, where we help you learn how to live fully alive, co-labor with God, and change the world. I'm your host, Chris Ballatin, and I have Rory. Now, I'm going to say Hellert. Did I get it right?
Right on.
Well, it's spelled out phonetically here. Phonetically. Tough, a long day. Phonetically right here. You're a certified life coach. And well, I know you because you are the youth director of Young Saints here at Bethel.
Yes.
And you guys have like, how many kids you have?
Three kids, three little girls.
How old are they?
7, 5, and 3.
Whoosh.
I know.
Man, you guys took fruitful to multiply.
We multiplied.
You did good, my son. It's awesome. So you're building a ministry. What inspired you to build leaders? You're a youth pastor.
Yep.
But you love building leaders. Like, this is your passion. Yes. Well, obviously, working with you, too.
Yep.
What inspired you to focus on building leaders?
Yeah, it's a great question. Being in youth ministry and just being leading teams and all of that kind of stuff, you realize I am only one person and I only go so far.
Yeah, exactly.
And that revelation hit pretty soon because I would say I'm naturally an introverted person. And so being put in places with a lot of people and being pulled on by a lot of people, I went, wow, I need other awesome people around me because I won't make it very far if I don't. And I think that started this journey in me to go, how do I help other people become awesome to where people could walk into a team that I'm leading and they wouldn't always know I'm the leader. And they might assume that somebody else is leading it because of how powerful the people are. And I kind of mess with some youth pastors when they come and visit our youth group. If they come in and, you know, we have guests and groups come and that kind of stuff, I won't introduce myself as the youth pastor until a few leaders have come by and I'm like, hey, who do you think is the youth pastor? And they'll actually name other people that approach them first. And they're like, oh, for sure, that person's leading it. And I'm like, actually, you know, it's kind of fun. I'm actually the youth pastor here. And it's kind of been this thing, this journey in me that I'm like, I love big people.
What does it mean to be a leader?
You know, to me, simple.
Yeah.
Is people are following you. And so I wish a leader meant that you were a great leader.
Well, yeah.
But it doesn't. A leader is just that somebody or multiple people are following you. And when you realize that most people are leaders, I think that also helps me in my development of people. Because I'm like, well, somebody's following you. You're not aware of it. Somebody's watching you.
Yeah.
It kind of gives the foundation of like, everybody has leadership in them.
Yeah, it's I guess my next question for you, I'll partly answer myself too, and that is, you know, what's it mean to be a great leader? Because the truth is that you can be a popular leader.
Yes.
You know, i.e., well, we won't name anyone because we'll offend people, but you know, we know all these musicians and famous artists and who, you know, have millions of followers.
Yes.
Quote followers. And don't necessarily have great character. In other words, I'm saying you don't have to be a great leader to attract a ton of people.
It's true.
So what does it mean to be a great leader from your perspective?
Yeah, that's great. I would say a great leader is somebody that is building, developing, and promoting the people around them.
Whoosh.
And so if I'm thinking of a great leader, I would go, I am intentionally building, developing, and promoting people around me, and hopefully letting them go farther than I can go. And that's kind of been a dream of mine for years. I know that coming to Bethel, I came in 2010, and obviously it's like a thing in our house here
Exactly.
Like build big people. And, you know, we want our, you know, ceiling to be your floor. And I feel like I caught that and went, could I do that at 23 and 24? Can I think like that? Or do I have to wait till I'm in my 40s? And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to face a lot of insecurity. I'm going to have to really go after my own insecurities so that I could maybe become that person even in my 30s that could start launching people. And people would go, who are these people? And I would go, man, I'm so proud that I got to be a part of their story.
Yeah. I think that some people will be listening to this and they're like, I don't have insecurity. It's like, well, if you surround yourself with little people, you won't have insecurity, right? I mean, seriously, work with the broken, work with the poor, which we should, by the way, we should. Yep. And we do at Bethel, we do. But if you hang out with people who are obviously broken and you know, I'll say little people, not insignificant people, but little from the standpoint that they're broken and they're not influential, you probably aren't going to feel insecure. Probably makes you feel secure, actually.
Yes. You actually feel like a great leader.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you think you're doing everything right. And then you're like, oh no, I, it's true. When you can get people that are better at you, at most things. This is why I try to find them. Yeah. I'm really good at like one or two things.
Yeah.
And then I have a whole team of people that I'm like, wow, you are so much better at that than I am. So I need you. Yeah. And that's been the change for me is to go, I look for people that I'm like, I don't have that at all. People are going to highlight that. And people do. People come into our world and they're highlighting stuff that I'm like, I know that's not me.
What do you like? Okay. So I have the same situation. I have no education. I'd say I'm a person of average intelligence. I have a lot of drive, a lot of perseverance. So I don't quit, like too legit to quit. I find that a high percentage of the people around me are a lot better than me.
Yeah.
At a lot of things. More educated, you know, better with things even that I have a passion than I have, you know, that I have a passion for, like actually better.
Yes.
And so I find my own, it does push your buttons, right? It does like, you know, at some point, like, what am I good at? Or, you know, or it's like, oh, I love doing this. And it's like, well, you know, I love playing basketball. Yeah. You're just not very good at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, being bad at something, not being good at something you don't care about.
One thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not being the best at something you care a lot about.
Very difficult.
Very difficult. What do you do with your insecurity?
It's great.
What do you honestly do with your
insecurity? What I honestly do, I mean—
Take me through it. Like—
Yeah, this is my process.
I'm in your world, let's say, and you love doing X, Y, Z. Maybe you love preaching.
I'll take you through that. I'll do that. So I'll be the youth pastor. I love communicating.
Yeah.
Probably one of my most challenging things I do. And obviously our kids are going to be like, you're great. That was awesome.
Yeah,
okay, exactly. Thank you. But you know, you're 14. And I love it. Love the compliments, but it's probably one of the hardest things I do is actually communication, is getting the thoughts and feelings that I have out.
In words.
In words. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
To think very hard about it. And I have people on our team that are naturals. One being my wife, natural communicator. Very
is
good.
Is she?
Natural.
Like, I've heard she's a great preacher.
Great preacher. She can think about something, craft the words, and knows exactly what she's doing. And I'm like,
she is a woman.
Yeah.
She uses more words.
She uses more words all the time. So I'm like, it's an unfair advantage. Yeah. She can access her emotions faster. Yeah. She can use words faster. Really good at it. And we have other people, like there's another guy on our team named Jordan Young, great communicator, very, so much charisma that pulls kids in,
and
pulls people in.
Yeah.
And me, I'm like, man, it took me all week to come up with this thing. And when I was starting to empower people to speak, because this is when it started again, I thought I don't have insecurities about communicating. Yeah. I feel great.
Yeah.
You start empowering people to speak and everyone's like, they're the best speaker we have.
Exactly.
Man, Rory, I got to tell you, tonight was the best message I've ever heard in young since.
I've been changed forever.
Awesome, you know? I was like—
Like frick, right?
Yeah. Like, thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
And from that, what I started doing, and I started this about, I would say, 5 years ago, I started this thing in my life that took a big jump for me. And I thought, I want a few people, two or three, to know everything about me. And can I actually let somebody in enough to where they know my whole past, present, fears, insecurities, dreams, everything? And I'm not a natural person to go there. And I thought, I need to do this.
You're not transparent by nature.
No, I have to work at transparency. It is, I'm a very intense person and I'm a high eight driven, just keep it all here person.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'm gonna crash if I keep having this pressure and insecurity. It's causing so much anxiety. And when I keep showing up to believe in these people, because I want to make big people,
yeah,
I feel like I'm hitting a wall inside of me.
It's called Rory.
Yes, and I'm trying to get over it.
Yeah.
And I thought, I got to get over this. And so I just started pulling people aside and telling them everything. I was like, here's everything I've ever done. Here's everything I've ever thought. Here's my greatest fears. Here's my greatest insecurities about my own leadership. Here's what I love about my leadership. Here's what I think I'm really good at. And here's what I wish I was better at. And I did that with a couple of people. And instantly I started going, man, I feel so free.
That you kind of confessed your, not your sin.
Not, but
your
yeah, weakness. But your weakness. And I yeah. could go, oh, it's okay. And they're like,
yeah,
yeah, no, that's okay. And I'm like, yeah, it is actually okay. And I can still speak and communicate and give it my best and go every time. And that's okay. And when I got over that, it doesn't mean you never get insecure. It's just so much easier to do something with it. You yeah. have people that you're like, oh man, hey, I got a little weird. Like I felt it in that moment. I don't want to feel that. I don't want that insecurity to stop me from empowering people,
yeah.
believing in people. And especially because that, I feel like there's the correlation where you start getting a small team.
Yeah.
And I always know, I'm like, if I am not at some level, like, wow, I'm in awe of the team around me. I'm a little intimidated. You guys are awesome. Like any yeah. one of you could do my job better. I'm probably not raising up the right people.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I have the same issue. And, you know, there are times when my emotions are going north to fear and insecurity mode.
Yes.
And I'm like, I will go south.
Yes.
I will empower them again. I will put them in the podium again.
Yep.
I will not let this emotion of, well, what are who's going to follow me?
Yes.
You know, dominate. I'll tell you, like growing up with Bill Johnson's, you know, obviously amazing. I don't want to just say the obvious, like it's obviously amazing, you know, like where would I be if it wasn't for Bill Johnson? I'd be still working on cars and, you know, building auto parts stores.
Yeah.
But being with in my opinion, one of the best charismatic preachers of all time.
Yes.
And often following him.
Yes.
Is not easy. Writing books when you have somebody who's a more popular author is yeah. not easy. And how many times people come up and go, man, I love Bill Johnson. He writes the best books. His life's changed. And I'm like, I've written 15 books. Here, give Bill this note. Yeah, okay. Thank you. You know, Bill's messages. I just listened to all of his podcasts. Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, you just have to, I mean, I just refuse to not be loyal to Bill.
Yeah.
I'm still... do my best to work through those, push through those.
100%.
Yeah. I think the difference between a good leader and a great leader is what you do with your insecurity, to yeah. be honest.
No, 100%. There's something about it that it makes or break how you believe in people, what you do,
totally.
How you empower. Yeah. All of it, how you show up.
Totally.
You can always tell when somebody's insecure, which is the worst because it is so obvious, even if they're trying to hold it.
Yeah.
I think I know that. I'm like, I've been that person.
Oh, I am.
And you
that
are
person
that person.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, if I see that you look like that,
yeah.
that's what I look like.
Yeah.
If I don't take care of this, even if I think I'm hiding it.
Sometimes the most insecure person in the room is the person telling you how amazing they are.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Hey, who's had the biggest impact on you and your leadership? Like who's molded you?
You know, I've had a variety of people.
Mm-hmm.
I would say two people that have molded a lot of who I am as a person would be Tom and Leslie Crandall.
Yeah,
so they are yeah, they're amazing.
People.
I was 19 when I moved to Utah, and I was there for 2 years. That's how I met the Crandalls.
Ah.
And I was a very intense, very like strongly opinionated, no boundaries, no grid for leadership, but thought I had a great grid for leadership person. And they helped me through so much of molding me. Even when I was like, I don't like you guys.
Exactly. I'm
like, and we're like clashing.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not like,
yeah.
you know, everyone's like, how have you guys stayed together so many years? I mean, you guys just must get along so well. And I'm like, oh, it has not been without the seasons of
yeah,
clashing.
That's some Bill and I too. Absolutely.
Like strong to yeah. work out like it's hard to become who you're supposed to become. That doesn't just happen easy. That is like strong. So they staying with me, believing in me, going through hard seasons where I just had stuff coming up that needed to get worked through, but I didn't always know how to work through it. And one of those was like, I thought I was right. I'm such a confident decision maker.
Bro, that could be called arrogance once in a while too, right?
I know. Young, especially. When you're young, I've been called arrogant more than once, where it was like, and Tom and Leslie helped go, no, you have a great gift of decision making and confidence. You just need to make sure that you know other people have great ideas too. Yeah. You have to get that.
You have a great gift of confidence. You're just stupid.
Yeah.
that was more of the commentary on my life. Yeah. I just don't know what you're talking about. But at least you, when you actually know what you're talking about, you are going to be a great man of God.
That was me. You know, that's probably how they thought a few times about me with stuff I would say and do for them. And I was like, and now I look back, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I almost like took you guys out multiple times. So they would be too. And then I would say, those are like probably more like hands-on people that we've walked through life with, and they married us and all that. And then I would say a couple other people that have been very inspirational for me, but I take stuff with a grain of salt. I think something, I don't know if you've found this, but I love leadership books and leadership podcasts, all this.
I love them too.
I love them. When I pull some of the stuff though and apply it to like a ministry, I'm like, wow, this does not work quite the same as like.
Work great for them though.
Yes. Works great for the business. Like when you can have like structure that doesn't change with different variations, it works. But one of the guys, Simon Sinek, I love Simon Sinek and I love John Maxwell.
I love Maxwell. And I don't know Simon Sinek. So
Simon Sinek is like, it's like he's taken Maxwell, because I've read almost all of John Maxwell's books.
Me too.
And he's come in as a millennial voice and going, I love what John Maxwell's doing. You know, millennials, here's how you partner with it. And he has helped me, like I'm a millennial. Yeah. He has helped me bridge the gap of how to apply a lot of John C. Maxwell. And how John Maxwell thinks.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I would read stuff and go, that is so good, but I don't know how to apply that. Simon Sinek has helped me a lot.
Simon Says?
Yeah, Simon Says.
Simon Says. Share a testimony of where you've seen a team member step into their calling and make a significant impact. That's a great question. I didn't write that question, but I think it's a great question.
You know, I have a variety of people that come to mind as I think of that. One being there was, I had a, probably it was the year of 2020, because the whole school went online, and I had third years.
Terrible.
That was quite the year.
God, that was a...
Yeah. I didn't want to trigger you.
I'm having
you,
PTSD. Just bring it up.
I don't want to trigger you.
I start to sweat.
Yeah. The year of 2020 was a, interesting year. I had two third years, and that I took, and obviously, and they right when we took them, one of them just made a big mess right before third year started. And for me,
so few of our students have
make
problems.
Messes. Yeah.
Yes.
This was a unique scenario. No. Something I love though, part of how I view leadership is, I think if I have somebody that makes a big mess to me, I'm like, this is about to be the best opportunity to develop this person if they want it.
Yeah, if they want it.
If they want it. If they don't, then it's a wash and I'm so sorry. But if they do, I have found some of my strongest people and the people that get launched are ones that I found in one of their worst seasons, and I believed in them and walked with them.
Absolutely.
And this guy was one of them and made a big mess, but he was like, I will do whatever it takes to get trust back with third year with you and walk. We did the whole process, walked through, and he was then on our team for a couple of years, ended up marrying him and his wife. They met under me. We walked through their whole dating, did their pre-marriage, got married. And then he had this big desire. He actually ran Hebrews, ran the kitchen. He got hired on at Bethel. Then after third year, did Bethel Tech and works for Ramsey Solutions, actually.
Wow.
And it was his big dream. He like has such a desire to help people in ministry learn how to do finance well. So he's becoming a finance coach underneath Ramsey. And it's been so cool to watch. When I met him, it was like, you would have thought there's no chance this young guy has a bright future with all this stuff against him. Really rough home life, rough scenarios that had happened when he was younger, and a lot of things working against him. And then him making some very stupid decisions. taking that and going, hey, bro, I believe in you. I see there's so much in you. If you say yes, and you actually walk with me, man, I think there's a lot that can unlock. And it just started there. And we just met consistently. And I would say he's one that I love that. And he texts me all the time. Him and his wife are doing great. And it's a win because he was like, I never thought I'd get married. Like when we met, it was like marriage was such a rough thing because of, you know, upbringing and all that. And so it was awesome. Another one I think of is actually, she's in this room right now, actually, Tori. She was my third year a while ago. And she came into our environment and was just like, I love God. I want to be in ministry. But I've only had chances of ministry and I haven't really been developed. And it's been fun to see the process where she's come in. We hired her in Young Saints then like 5 years ago to be our administrator and just started developing her to start leading at a high level. She started running our events. From me, I was the event director for years in Young Saints. And it was such a joy to pass it on and then have everyone go. This was another leadership moment. People are like, wow, events are running so much smoother now that Tori took them over. You know, and I was like, thank you. Yeah, I did them before her for 7 years, but I get it.
So she's gifted too, by the way.
Very gifted too. Way better than I was. And I instantly noticed the leadership level. And then in this last season, just like 7-8 months ago, moved to the events department and now just became the events director for Bethel Church.
Thrive.
And doing amazing. And I look at that and I'm like, it's so fun to see what God can do when you just believe in somebody, give them opportunities, sometimes before they're ready, and watch them succeed. And it is, it's that joy. I'm like, that to me is the joy of leadership, is seeing people that you've like given your life to do something great with it.
That's amazing.
And you're like, that's awesome. And
And the first guy went through Bethel School of Technology.
He did Bethel Tech. He did three
right
years.
There, Bethel School of Technology. Change your life.
Yes.
Get a coding certification and change the world.
Yep. It's awesome. I've actually Ramsey, had a couple of leaders go through. Yeah. Ramsey is amazing.
Yeah.
And so, I've had a few leaders go through Bethel Tech and they love it.
Most challenging thing about building leaders is?
I can't control people. Most challenging thing. So
we should be able to though.
You know, only
that's
sometimes.
That's my old style. Was so much easier.
Only sometimes. Yeah. The biggest challenge in leadership for me is that I see potential in people. Like I feel like I can look at somebody and I'm like, man, I see so much potential in you. There's so much greatness inside of you. The gifts are so evident. But I can't control your yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't control your motivation. And I can't control whether you show up. And I can't control if you believe it. And I think that has been one of the things I've had to be aware of the most in my leadership is not trying to force my own beliefs to control a person into their destiny, but to just go, okay, I can believe in you. I'm for you, but I cannot do it for you.
Free will is a powerful thing, you know, right? Because Jesus wills that we'd go to heaven.
Right.
But free will means that you could still choose hell.
Yes.
People will say things like, well, why would a loving God send me to hell? It's like, loving God said, over my dead body.
Yes.
Over my dead body. But you still can step over.
You can still step over it.
As Hebrews says, you could step over the blood of Christ into eternal destruction. Not because of what you want, but because of what you will.
And I feel like I will tell people, I'm like, a lot of times I think people want to believe there's a secret sauce to leadership. And I'm like, the secret sauce is the perseverance of somebody not giving up. If you want to know the secret sauce, you're not going to get picked most of the times. If you read most leadership books and you see most great leaders, you're like, oh, you were like the 10th or 11th pick. You weren't the first draft. You have to persevere. You're not going to always be highlighted. You have to believe in yourself before people believe in you. And you have to keep showing up and doing the best you know how to do if no one sees it. And that is where the struggle comes in because I'm like, anybody can do that. But not everyone chooses to do that because it's hard.
Exactly.
Like leadership is not easy because you're like, it's not influence. That's not the same thing. And I think in our culture, influence has so taken the scene, people are like, oh, there's a million views on that YouTube. Boom. Let's get them in. Let's talk to them. What are you doing? And I'm like,
yeah,
that could have been a kid that threw on his camera, did something stupid. Yeah. And you're like, wait, what?
You sing songs. You must know everything about everything.
And that has, I would say, a challenge in leadership, even as I lead and empower a lot of Gen Z and millennials, is we are raised with this constant picture of what leadership is in the name of influence. And everyone's like, oh, look at how many followers. And we celebrate it. We're like, oh my gosh, look at how many followers. Look at our reach. Look at this. Look at that. That's amazing. And I'm going, you know what's more amazing? Show up to work on time. Consistently be there, be faithful, do what God's asked you to do, and let the Lord promote you and become an actual leader, not an influencer. And I just think there's such a desire towards influence.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's easy with social media to feel like you're significant through it, but it's not actually changing people's lives. And I'm like, I don't remember the last time a post impacted my life. I had thoughts about posts. Mm-hmm. I had my own opinions about everything I've seen. Yeah. It has not been where I'm like, oh wow, that changed my life. But the interaction of people, the faithfulness, totally, the behind the scenes, the stuff that nobody sees, which you know, I mean, you've been in leadership for years, where it's not always
since Christ came back the first time.
Christ came back the first time. We were talking about in the church staff meeting actually last week, and you came up because we were talking about just where we're at as Bethel and believing for God for the breakthrough, for our building and all this stuff. Yeah. And somebody brought up, they were like, I think it was Donna De Silva. She said, I remember a time though, when Chris and her husband, Steve and Bill and all Charlie Harper, we didn't have the finances at Bethel. There wasn't money coming in, and in faith, they believed, and they had to go through hard seasons where they almost couldn't pay the bills. And when I think of that in your life, I'm like, the way that you have displayed actual leadership to go, we have a mass, I mean, people come to Bethel and they're like, oh, wow, this is so cool. Is that a building? Is it this? And I'm like, no, it's because we have people that chose in a season of hiddenness to not give up. Because when it was really hard, and no one's was looking, no eye, there was no Instagram, nobody was going, you guys are going to change the world. This is so crazy. It's going to be all over. Like, yeah, there's prophetic words, but like, it's not like it's happening.
Yeah.
And in that season, there was faithfulness, and we get to eat the fruit of your leadership. And I think I want that. And even being in a generation where it is easy to bypass that, I don't think it creates longevity, because sooner or later, you're going to hit the valley that you have to persevere in. And if you haven't cultivated that, I think it's why we're seeing leaders just crash. And they're like, I'm like, oh, you didn't cultivate perseverance in times that it was lean to get through it.
Yeah, suffering and perseverance, definitely a part of the gospel. One more question, last question. What does it mean to be a cultural catalyst from your perspective?
I like this question. To me, I'd say, if I think of a catalyst, I think of like an agent that's placed into other substances and catalyzes and creates something that wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
And so if I think of a cultural catalyst, I'm like, it is a person that chooses to go against the norm, thinks different, has different ideas, isn't afraid to get persecuted for the different ideas to create change for the good. And to go, hey, I know that everybody's been going one way, but that way is leading to a cliff. Now, I can either let people go that way, or I can step in and create a new way. And it's going to be painful. People are going to run into me. They're not going to like it. There's going to be resistance. But I'm aware, man, I'm a change agent. That means it's going to be pressure. It's going to maybe explode. It's going to create a reaction. But I'm actually going to affect culture.
I think cultural catalysts are disruptive, right?
They are.
We are disruptive. Rory, thanks so much for being on. How can people get in touch with you? You want to give me your private cell phone number?
Yeah, right now. It's 5-2. No, I'm just kidding. If you go on Instagram, I've got an Instagram. It's just Rory Hellert, RoryHellert, super fun, simple. And then we also have a Youth Pastors and Leaders Network that I run. So if you go to youngsaints.com, you will see it. It's one of the pages. And we do a lot of coaching sessions with youth pastors, leaders, different things to really inspire young leaders to be awesome.
Cool. We'll put the link down in the comment section. God bless you. Thanks for being on. And see you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. To stay connected, you can sign up for my weekly newsletter at chrisvalentin.com/subscribe. God bless you.